Today on the Callahan Podcast, would you ever wonder who is the world's worst lawyer? Well, we got an answer yesterday. The world's worst lawyer was in Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump is paying him to defend him. God, this guy was awful. We'll play you some of the hits from Bruce Castor, the Trump attorney, who just embarrassed himself. Also, speaking of embarrassing himself, Mark Cuban is not going to play the national anthem anymore, at least not the American national anthem. He will not play the Star-Spangled Banner. He might play the Chinese national anthem. We shall see. There's a big boat parade today in Tampa, and I'm going to guess that there's going to be some triggering going on because they might even go on the boats maskless. We'll find out. And the New York Times has the latest outrageous cancel culture story. We will go through it. You will not believe it. It's just amazing. They just every day top themselves in the cancel culture world. We'll get into all that and much, much more on today's Callahan Podcast, brought to you by DCU. You love your car, but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU, and they can help lower your monthly payments, lower your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy, and their loan experts will help you find the loan term, the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high-rate loan and get the interest rate and the payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Callahan, let's do this.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
All right, let me just start off by saying I'm really disappointed in you two guys. That'd be Tom Shattuck and Dave Callahan. I really am. I was excited going to bed last night, waking up this morning. I was sure that you'd be hitting your little kitty filter and you'd both have cat faces. And I thought, we're going to go national, at least. We're going to be on, I don't know, Hannity tonight. And we're going to be on all the, you know, Fox and Friends, because it's going to be so funny when one of you two, maybe would, instead of a kitty, what else could you do? A dog, obviously. Or could you do like a lion?
Like a mouse or something like that? Or, you know, Shattuck's a rat. Maybe a rat or something?
Yeah, no, he's a little big for a rat. I mean, how about like a water buffalo? Could you do a water buffalo?
See, can you imagine a filter over Shattuck's face right now?
I don't think you can fit it in the screen. But
what is this? What is this brutalization?
I think
you guys are so damn jealous.
I think Kone could be a rat. He's got more of
I'm a gentle soul. Bad perception, Dave Kone.
Facial hair. Here's the thing is what you're going to see. I predict right now by tonight, there's going to be all these copycat kitties. Because that thing went global. I mean, it went viral and it was everywhere. I mean, every show, every news channel, they drop it in there for 2 minutes and then laugh and say how funny it is and try to explain it. And then there was a comparison saying that was a much more serious proceeding, legal proceeding than the one in Washington. You know, it was used to compare and mock the phony impeachment hearings. But I think someone will try to do it. Here we're looking at it now. And the notable thing, I've seen it at least 16 times already, is the other two guys don't laugh. They don't laugh at all. And it's,
well, I think that they were astonished at what they were seeing. And the fact that, well, a guy's talking, saying, I'm trying to fix it. It's the cat saying it.
He says, I'm not a cat.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great because you know that these judges, if you don't get there on time, they will kick your ass. It doesn't matter. These judges have no patience for anything. So this guy is probably, in the 50 seconds leading up to the Zoom meeting, is probably saying, shit, how do I get this cat filter off? And at some point, he has to make the decision. Do I show up on time, even though I can't get rid of this cat head? Or do I just bail in the meeting and be in trouble? So he's like, oh, Christ, here we go.
The guy in the top right, the guy with the beard, the little goatee, gray goatee, he was angry and he was not going to chuckle. Look at him. He is just not taking any of it. Is that the judge?
No.
Those are both lawyers?
The guy in the left, bottom left, is the judge, I think.
The bottom left is the judge. Yes. That's the lawyer on the top right. Right. He just doesn't have any sense of humor. Doesn't laugh at all. And I would be like the guy in the cat. I'd be unable to turn it off. I'd be screaming to my daughter or my wife saying, help me. You know, they, like the guy was like, I'm trying. And the whole country's laughing except the two lawyers or the judge and the lawyer.
You know, the cat guy prepared for the case. He was ready. He spent, you know, he's spent weeks, you know, working on this. He probably adjusted his background to put all smart lawyer books behind him.
Got his best suit and tie. Yeah. What? So do you know how to do this, Colin?
I feel like you were mocking it, and now we're doing exactly what you were mocking. Well,
we're having done. I just predict you will see 100 more people try it today, thinking they're going to go global, and everyone will pick up on it and think it's just as funny, and it won't work. I mean, this was original. This was different. I hadn't seen it, and now all the copycats are going to look.
I can't do a filter like that lot. I think I know how to do it. I can go green screen and hang
out. My kids can do it on different Facebook things. My kids do it all day. Yours must do, Dave.
Yeah, like Snapchat, you can do it easier.
Right. But the cat thing and the memes, whatever, that's pathetic and it's not funny. But the horror of being this lawyer, I like it because I can appreciate how awful that must be. And, you know, not only is he a cat, but he's got a paying client who's watching this.
Hopefully that person had a sense of humor. Hopefully somebody laughed. All right, here's my transition for you. I'm ready for this, man. I'm ready. That lawyer with the cat face was not the most embarrassing lawyer we saw yesterday. There's a joke, an old joke George Carlin used to tell. You know, one of his kind of cerebral, thought-provoking jokes. It's not like a laugh-out-loud joke, but he'd say, somewhere in the world is the world's worst doctor, and someone has an appointment with him in 10 minutes. You know, it's just your thought, like there's a million doctors. There has to be the worst one somewhere, and he's going to meet with a patient in 10 minutes, and that poor patient has to deal with the world's worst doctor. There's somewhere in the world is the world's worst lawyer, and the weird thing is the former president of the United States, a billionaire, hired him to make his case. And I realize it's not a real trial. It's a show trial. It's just an act of vengeance from the Democrats. They're just putting on a performance. There's not going to be a real verdict. Trump's going to be acquitted and we'll all move on with our lives. But I always thought Trump had this circle of attorneys around him, most of whom were stone cold killers, you know, the Rudy Giulianis and the Jay Sekulows and these guys who are real hard ass lawyers. And he marches out a guy yesterday, and I realized not many people were watching, not many people care. It's not a big deal. But the guy was almost seemed to be a caricature. He almost seemed to be putting on a show and say, look at me, I'm a lost soul. Like Trump was mocking the whole process by hiring and marching out the worst lawyer I've ever seen. I mean, this guy should have had a cat face. He wouldn't have been mocked nearly as much. His name is Bruce Castor. We have some of his lowlights, but he comes out with a suit. A suit doesn't even fit.
No,
he doesn't have a script. Like for his statement, his opening statement, he's just winging it. Like I've seen people do this. I saw like a good friend of mine do a best man speech at a wedding, and he thought he could just wing it. He like prepared. And I was like, oh my God, it was the most painful. Yeah. He just kind of rambled and babbled and started. I'm like, you can't do that without writing some notes. You can't do it without rehearsing it in front of the mirror. This guy made a speech in front of Congress that was carried, I guess, live on lots of TV stations, and had no plan. It was so unbelievably embarrassing. And he cost them one vote. Not that it matters, but this guy Cassidy from Louisiana bailed on Trump after this guy's performance. And he made everyone wonder, is one side prepared and the other side not? I mean, it was a blowout. It was like Super Bowl. It was one sided, but we should listen to some Bruce Castor, because if you don't care, and most people don't, it's just laughable how bad this guy was.
I'll be quite frank with you. We changed what we were going to do on account that we thought that the House manager's presentation was well done. We are generally a social people. We enjoy being around one another. Senators of the United States, they're not ordinary people. And boy, this is a diverse group. We still know what records are, right? On the thing you put the needle down on and you play it. I worked in this building 40 years ago. I got lost then, and I still do. I represent the great state of fill in the blank. I saw a headline, Representative so-and-so seeks to walk back comments about I forget what it was, something that bothered her. I don't want to steal the thunder.
That's a good one to end on right there.
That's just you know, a partial list. And the report was, of course, CNN said sources around Trump. They have no sources around Trump, but they made the assumption. So they made up a story, which is what they do. But mm-hmm. in this case, I believe it. The Trump was irate. He was furious watching it because they said no golf, no public appearance from Trump yesterday. He was watching the opening statements, and he had to be thinking, I'm paying that guy? I hired that guy? The guy went after him, the Jewish guy,
yeah.
Dave Schoen.
Yeah.
He caused a stir on Twitter because he kept covering the top of his head when he drank water. So everyone was mocking him. The typical, you know, the trolls on Twitter were mocking him and all the people on MSNBC and CNN. And then somebody pointed out it's a religious thing. He's Jewish. And if you don't wear your
yarmulke,
you're supposed to cover the top of your head when you drink.
Wow. So
it was a Jewish thing. He was doing a religious thing, which they would never understand. Right. So they had to stop mocking him. But he was, you know, Clarence Darrow compared
to. Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least he was a lawyer. He had a point. But the first guy, Castor, was like Foster Brooks, and he was like all over the place. He didn't seem to know why he was there. Nobody told him why he was there. So he was kind of just, ruminating for everybody's pleasure. But that's a bad sign when the first thing he does when he gets up there says about the prosecution's case and presentation. Yeah, that was awesome. That's not that doesn't make you feel good.
No, it's and honestly a lot of people did it on Twitter, but it just felt like you were watching the opening of the trial on My Cousin Vinny, where the Vinny's cousins co-conspirator, the guy, his friend, who would allegedly committed the murder with him, you know, hired a different lawyer because he didn't want Vinny, because Vinny was a little rough around the edges. And in the middle of the state, or in the middle of the trial, says, you're fired. I want him, because this guy couldn't get a word out. The other lawyer. And everyone said it sounded, it kind of looked like him too. Do we have him?
On January 4th of this year, my client did indeed visit the Sack of Suds convenience store, but he didn't kill anyone. We intend to prove that the
and the same look. We're just watching the scene, and all the jurors are looking on in astonishment, and the defendant's looking on, and he's covering his mouth, and he's aghast, and that's had to be Trump sitting in Mar-a-Lago watching that boob. Bruce Castor.
Why is this not predictable for Trump? Why can't he's so lavish? You would think he'd have like a really polished.
I think they bailed. There was a few attorneys that didn't want to take the case for whatever reason, because it's not a real case.
Well, he had whacked his other team left a week ago. So these guys were fairly right off the bench. But did you watch Newsmax where they broke away from coverage? So Dershowitz.
Yes, I saw Dershowitz said the guy was awful. He said, I can't believe, he said, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, they broke out of coverage of the thing.
And he said that the strategy of praising the prosecution, praising the team, the impeachment managers was nuts. It had no relevance. It didn't have any point. He kept saying how good the guys did and the other. I mean, it was just embarrassing. And I guess it doesn't matter. The whole thing is about vengeance. These are the ultimate Trump haters. We all know Trump haters. We all know people blinded by rage. We talked about the woman yesterday, Shattuck, the woman who doesn't know what to do because in California, because a Trump guy plowed her driveway for free.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know what to do because the guy had a Trump sign in his yard, which means he's a Nazi or he's Hezbollah. She compared him to Hezbollah, the Nazis and other terrorists. And said she didn't know what to do. He plowed her driveway for free.
Right, because her milk toast latte sipping husband could never figure it out.
But this woman, her name is Virginia Heffernan. She went to Harvard grad school. She's from New Hampshire. She's sick. She's sick in the head. She is absolutely sick. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. We're dealing with, you know, they're like these crazy, you know, mask fanatics. They're just insane. This, you know, the people on the team, the Democrats on the impeachment team are sick. They want to destroy Trump. They're not going to be happy until they find out Trump has a flesh-eating disease and is dying in agony. Then they'll be happy to know that he's going to suffer and die. Until then, they're going to spend every ounce of energy trying to embarrass him, trying to ruin him. He's not going to be the candidate in 4 years. I don't care what happens in this trial. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know what's going to happen in this trial. You know what's going to happen in this trial. He's going to get acquitted. They have some weasel rhinos like Mitt Romney and Murkowski and Susan Collins on their side, which is to be expected. They need to get 17 Republicans. They have no chance, zero chance of convicting him. They're spending time and money and all this effort just to embarrass him further because they hate him so much because he disrupted things in Washington because he called them out. And they beat him. Obviously, they beat him. You know, it wasn't fair and square, but they beat him. They got rid of him. It's not enough. They want to kick him in the head like they're some kind of Antifa BLM rioters.
But they want to kick him in the head, Jerry, but only for a couple of days because they're not into this. Really, that video that they played yesterday was really all the entire case. The video that Jamie Raskin played that showed the, you know, all the people with antlers, you know, bashing through the doors, etc. That's it, because this is not a real trial, or else there would be a lengthy investigation and a prosecution and a lengthy defense. But they're not doing that because Democrats aren't serious about this anyway. It's about saying F you to Trump and then moving immediately to photo ops with Biden about his great spending bill, the greatest bill in the history of the world. And so they didn't want this thing to be in the news because
See, I disagree. They want this is the most important thing to them. You think they care about, you know, the, you know, work? Obviously, they've proven they don't care about people working for a living. They laid off whatever it is, 11,000-12,000 with the Keystone Pipeline. They're going to put 1.4 million people out of work when they jack up the minimum wage. They don't care. Everything is a sop. Everything is throwing a bone to the radical lefts, the radical environmentalists, the socialists, the AOCs, and Bernie's. This is something they all care about. This they all share one thing in common. They hate the man who just served the last 4 years, and he, you know, gets on a chopper and flies home to Mar-a-Lago. That's not enough. You know, that's not enough. They want to ruin him, make sure he can't run again. If he's so bad, like they say, why wouldn't they want him to run again? I don't, you know, I'm obviously, I hate these people. I would never support them, but I don't want Trump to run in 4 years. I don't think most people on my side want him to run in 4 years. In fact, if he'll be acquitted, we know he'll be acquitted. The day he says I'm a candidate in 2024, I will cringe. I will say, no, Donald, don't do it. Go out and campaign, support, you know, your governor, Ron DeSantis. He's the leading candidate. He is, in my mind, the president-elect right now. So support him. Don't run again. I don't want him to run again. I don't care if he gets, you know, legally banned from running again through this proceeding, but that's all they can do, right? That's the only thing they can accomplish is stop him from running in 4 years.
Right. And that's if there's no real challenge, because that seems odd to sanction a civilian at this point. Now, they could have done this if he was the existential threat that we were told he was. They could have done this all in 48 hours. You know, they could have done it a couple of weeks ago. They could have done it the week of the 6th after Trump attacked the Congress and attacked our very democracy, Jerry. But no, obviously they're not into it. They don't care. And I'll agree with you that the Democrats are into it in the sense emotionally they're into it. But politically as well, they are into this huge giveaway to liberal groups and Democratic governors like Charlie Baker.
Right.
But this is a joke at this point. What's happening in Congress here?
They had a much better day, obviously, than Trump lawyers. And the video, the 13-minute video, was very effective. They got some real inside stuff. You get to hear the thing that the MAGA morons were saying, everything they were saying in the Capitol. It was effective, but they left out They left out two words.
Peacefully is what you're saying, Jerry. Bless you. Yes, they left out peacefully during Trump's speech, which they shouldn't.
Patriotic.
Right, which they shouldn't have left out because it would give it more credibility if they had kept it in. You know, because people know that he said that. It's like everybody knows he said peacefully. So for them to extract it, but you know,
I think he wins on. Well, first of all, he wins because it could be unconstitutional that the judge is Patrick Leahy. I mean, how right. absurd is that? Secondly, he wins because he said peacefully and patriotically. You can't say, but when you said go out and fight, you can't say those are insightful words because every politician has said those words in every speech they've ever made. And they're going right. to present, I think, unless that's boom,
the thing that
lawyer, they're going to show all the Democrats who say go out and fight, and they're going to show Maxine Waters. The most disturbing one to me is Kamala Harris. The day after they burned down the police station in Minneapolis, Kamala Harris, our 47th president, said they're not going to stop and they shouldn't stop. So yeah. we're not talking about people who just marched or even people who, you know, threw rocks or yelled at police officers. We're talking about people who burned a police station to right. the ground, chased the cops out. It was a very disturbing visual. The next day, this person, Kamala Harris, she said they're not going to stop and they shouldn't stop. And she bailed them out. She right. bailed them out. Of
yes, so, there's a money trail.
That, you want to talk about insightful, dangerous rhetoric. That's much worse than anything Trump ever did. And we know that, but we know there are two sets of rules here. But they're not going to win because, A, they can't get the Republican votes. B, it might not even be constitutional. C, it's just there's no real repercussion. People looking at it and say, does he go to jail? No. Does he get fined? No, nothing. Nothing. Nothing happens. It doesn't affect. He'll be teeing it up.
Right.
Whether the verdict is guilty or innocent, to convict, no convict, it doesn't matter. He'll be teeing it up the next day and we all move on. No,
yes, the finding will be junk mail in his P.O. box somewhere. It doesn't mean anything. But, you know, what they could have gotten him on is the dereliction of duty. When the attack started and they had some time and they had those couple of hours passed, Trump could have called off the dogs then and said, hey, listen, guys, stop doing this. Or he could have called in the guard. He could have done something to stop them. But that dereliction of duty was kept out of the charges by Congress, by Pelosi, probably on purpose, because that way Republicans can vote against it and look like bad guys. If they had dereliction of duty in there, it would have been harder for Republicans to vote against it.
Hey, I'm always on record as saying his tweets are stupid. I don't think he was very effective. I don't think he was a good tweeter. And the tweets are the most effective part of the Democrats' presentation. When he says stupid stuff like, first of all, he said, come to the Capitol. It's going to be wild. And then
right.
afterwards, he kept on going about how they stole the election and, you know,
right.
go for it and everything. Encouraging. Obviously, wasn't encouraging his people to storm the Capitol and kill people. I don't know if people have noticed, but it didn't actually help his legacy. It didn't help anything. It was stupid. And I'll say this before we move on. I'm watching it, and it's wild. If you haven't seen the video, and if you hate Trump and you're rooting for the Democrats, you'll love the video because it's right down on the ground with all these crazy, these morons, these vandals who stormed the Capitol, including Viking Man and all the rest of them. And they're saying, you know, let's go, let's find him, where's Pence, you know, you traitor, and they're just the real fringe crazy people who stormed the Capitol before Trump was through speaking. I think if Trump had a decent lawyer, he would stress this, say, how could he incite people when he was still talking and they were storming the Capitol? Obviously, it was planned, and the real bad actors were in the Capitol before Trump was done, before anyone marched down the street. And by the way, some of them were Antifa, as we know. They don't get punished. The John Sullivan, the big Antifa guy
Half of that film was Sullivan's film.
Right, and he was standing next to Ashley Babbitt. That yep. guy, the Antifa guy, they've already, you know, said he's not going to be charged or he's not going to jail. If you're Antifa and you hate America and you really want to and you commit violence and you never pay a price. They go in Portland, 90% of the Antifa people have had all charges dropped. They've burned, looted, ruined lives, ruined businesses, and they never pay a price. The guys, the MAGA guys, they will pay a price. Hell, Viking Man is in jail with no sign of getting out. He got transferred so he could get his organic food.
Yeah.
But he's never getting out. His lawyer is begging. He said he will testify against the president. He will go on record and saying the president caused everything. Just let him out. And he won't. The people you see in the video at the Capitol will do hard time, real time. They'll lose their jobs. They'll lose money. If they didn't have American flag, if they, instead of waving American flags, they were burning American flags, they would be out of jail the next day. Our system is so screwed up. As long as you hate the country, you get forgiven for the violence you commit. If you, you know, wave the flag and chant USA, then you go to prison.
But yeah, whatever, and you know what's crazy?
I think they should all go to prison. So, and my complaint is send them all. Send every violent rioter to prison. The hell with them.
Well, I wouldn't have had a problem if more force was used. I know that you had a – I don't think you had a problem with them shooting the woman. But
of course.
I don't think you're allowed to storm into within feet of the Congress people there. I am shocked. By the way, how is it that none of these people had guns? Doesn't that blow you away?
I've said that, you know, with Reamer, I've heard many Democrats say an armed insurrection. First of all, it wasn't an insurrection. They weren't going to take over the government. Secondly, they weren't armed. They had to fly in from all other parts of the country.
Right.
They didn't. I mean, there was no incident, as far as I know, of one of the MAGA morons with a gun, shooting a gun. The only gunfire was this Capitol police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt, and we saw it again on this video. It's clear. You could see the front of part of his face or part of his head. Mm-hmm. You could see him, aim and fire. Answer me this, Shattuck. Mm-hmm. Have we heard word one about this cop? I mean, if Ashley Babbitt were a BLM protester, it would be in the front. It'd be in the headlines today. Oh, 5 weeks later, we'd know who this cop is. The cop would be, stripped of his badge, his gun. He'd be on unpaid leave. He'd be facing charges. He'd be going to jail. He would be public enemy number one. But she wore a red hat. She was unarmed. She was trespassing. We know that. Trespassing is bad. It's against the law. She shouldn't have done it. He shot her. She's dead. We see her die. And there's not even a mention of what happened to this cop. Did he get fired? Did he get suspended? You know, did he get reprimanded in any way? She, how'd you like to be her family, knowing that if she were protesting, whatever, for racial justice or protesting for climate justice, that cop would be in deep trouble. But because she's a Trump supporter, we don't hear a word about it. It's just so bizarre.
No, but also, Jerry, you notice that at the end of that video, they say, and now a total of 7 people are dead. How is this still rising? How's it now at 7?
Well, first of all, they're all Trump supporters. Secondly, as far as we know, other than Sicknick, which we don't know how Sicknick died, it turns out the fire extinguisher was just another lie. But it was at least 3 protesters died of, you know, natural causes. It was a heart attack, a stroke, and didn't someone fall down?
Like, yeah, they weren't in fighting shape, a lot of these guys.
And it was a little stressful. Obviously, Ashley Babbitt, she's a Trump supporter who was shot. An unarmed Trump supporter was shot by this cop, as you can see in the video. And then there was 2 cops who committed suicide. It's not like, you know, like when David Dorn died or Patrick Underwood died. These are police officers killed by BLM protesters. They were killed in cold blood. That didn't happen. I mean, cops, until we find out what happened to Sicknick, and maybe we won't, but he wasn't, as far as we know, beaten with a fire extinguisher. Until we know what happened to him, you can't say that the protesters, the trespassers, the vandals, you know, murdered anyone, did they?
No. I mean, you can't say it because there hasn't been a shred of information. You're right. There's only this news report that Sicknick got hit with a fire extinguisher, which appears to be untrue now. But you're right. There's so little information. It is bizarre. Right.
It's amazing. And this was in the Capitol. If this were in, whatever, Minneapolis or Seattle or Kenosha, we would know a hell of a lot more about that cop and about the victims, the people who died. But this morning, someone's counting the number of times that Joe Scarborough called the protesters, the vandals, the rioters, called them cop killers. It's like like he's called them cop killers like 8 times today. How, we don't know. I mean, maybe there is video somewhere. Maybe they'll make a case that one of these idiots, one of these MAGA morons killed Brian Sicknick. But here we are 5 weeks later, and we don't know. I'd love to find out more.
There's an organization that shouted loudly about how it was time to kill cops all through this summer, loudly in the public square. Some of them, you know, newly painted with Black Lives Matter in the streets. But there were people all through the summer calling for cops to die.
You think Frime like bacon is, you know, provocative?
Well, that's not even, I mean, that's, you know, symbolic, but people this summer were saying it's one for one. It's time to start taking theirs out. It's time to start killing cops. You played some of this audio this summer of the people in Washington, D.C. from the Black Lives Matter platform saying this. But I mean, it's no.
Well, you know what else is amazing? That we know that these idiots weren't going to take over the government, overthrow the government. It's such an absurd, you know, overreaction to say that Viking Man and the rest of these idiots were going to overthrow the government. There's a group, like you said, there's a group. Andy Ngo, the journalist, has chronicled a lot of what they've done, whose goal it is to overthrow the government. When they get in trouble, Kamala Harris's group will bail them out. They literally say they want to overthrow the government. They literally say America is evil and they burn the American flag. I mean, these MAGA morons are just the opposite. They're waving the flag and chanting USA. They're all criminals. They all belong in jail. They all should be arrested, tried, convicted. It's one group gets a pass because they hate America. It's so, for some reason,
it means anti-fascist, Jerry.
Oh, that's right. I wondered what that stood for. Anti-fascist.
They're all criminals, but they're low-level fucking crimes. Like, to your point, like the real crimes we know nothing about. Whereas, like Viking Man, just because he posted a selfie, we know everything about him. You know what I mean?
And what? Right. He was going to be, if they overthrew the government, he was going to be the new God King of America. We're going to have a whole new system.
Yes. So
that's what the impeachment manager is going to get to. They're going to get to that where they say, yeah, he was going to be named God King. And then the guy who had his feet up on the desk in Nancy Pelosi's, he was going to be Vice God King. Whole new system. Get rid of no more reps, no more senators. I believe what I heard on MSNBC, they were going to overthrow the government. It's so ridiculous. Again, I hate all violent mobs. I want them all in jail. I'm consistent. The other side, the Joe Scarboroughs, they're not consistent. They pick and choose. They hate these MAGA morons. They give a pass to the people in Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and Kenosha who are destroying lives, burning down businesses.
Well, I feel that if there's unrest in our lives, there must be unrest in the streets. Jerry. Right.
That's the last thing that Ayanna Pressley said that anyone, you know, listened to. I mean, Ayanna Pressley is this crazy person who just says outrageous things every day and no one even listens. It's like, yeah, there's a bunch of white supremacists in Congress and no one even asks, who are they? They just write her off as a lunatic. My congressperson is a fringe lunatic who nobody listens to and nobody respects because she's so nuts. Anyway.
By the way, before we go, we talk about Maxine Waters and the Democrats' call for violence. They were calling for the harassment and aggression towards politicians, members of the administration, and anybody affiliated with Trump outside in spaces when they were with their families.
Yep.
So that means
restaurants and gasoline stations. But they deny it. Like AOC, she'll say one thing one day. She said Ted Cruz wanted to murder her. And the next day she said, I never said that. And the media goes, oh, she never said it. Fact check, true. And I'm like, I just heard it. She went paid. And Maxine Waters defends it. She goes, I didn't want violence. I was told to tell Trump people you're not welcome here. So tell them. Don't hit. She said, get in their face. Mm-hmm. Tell them they're not welcome. I mean, it's in definition of incitement, but they'll get to that. I think Cousin Vinny's coming in. Vinny Boombatz is going to do the case, take over the case today. And he'll get to that. They'll get to all the examples of Democrats inciting violence, especially Kamala Harris, our 47th president, who literally said they won't stop burning down police stations.
And they shouldn't.
And they shouldn't. That is much, much worse than anything Trump said. And but you know what? These people, they can't quit Trump. They can't get over Trump. They just look at like where they're going to channel their wrath and their hatred. I mean, Trump's done. Tom Brady's done, at least for, you know, the rest of the season. Who are they going to hate now? Like really, really hate Kevin McCarthy? I mean, where are they going to turn their rage and hatred now? I guess they could turn it to, I don't know, Tucker Carlson. They could turn it to, you know, the Ben Shapiro. Who are they going to hate now that Trump is gone?
Matthew McConaughey. He said something. He said to cancel everybody if somebody speaks has an opinion than you.
I know, Shattuck. Mike Lindell.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Do you have a happy pillow yet, David Hogg's new pillow?
No, the new, if you missed it, David Hogg, the gun control activist, Parkland student who has become an activist.
Who was not in the building when the shooting.
By the way, did he go to Harvard?
Yes, he's going there right now.
He went to Harvard, and the other kid, Kyle Kashif, who was in the school at the time too, who was the valedictorian, straight A's, he couldn't go to Harvard because he had some mean tweets. David Hogg, who was like, you know, a mediocre student, he gets to go to Harvard because he hates Trump. And he hates Mike Lindell, and he said he's starting his own pillow company. And he literally tweeted out, does anyone know how to start a pillow company? You know, DM me. He's trying to start a company to compete with Mike Lindell.
Well, he tweeted that out, and then the Washington Post carried it to try to help him solicit a graphic designer for his pillow. And now he's got a scaled down website. I think it's called Happy Pillow or Good Pillow or something.
Didn't he tweet out an announcement of he just hired a CEO and was all about equality and all this stuff? And they had like all the old tweets of him just bashing, like all this homophobic tweets that he had. Did you see this or no?
I did not see that.
I'll pull it up.
Hogg, are we sure?
No, not Hogg. It was somebody Hogg hired to run Good Pillow. Really innovative new company.
I hope there's a violent turf war in Giza for the pillow resources. Lindell versus Hogg.
He tweeted out that he needs a graphics company to make him a logo, but he has to have it done in 2 hours because the Washington Post is waiting to do this glowing tribute about the company, and they didn't even have a logo. They're like, we can't wait. Get it done. And the kid's like, yeah, can someone do a logo? I'll give you $200. The Washington Post guy's out in the lobby. It's just ridiculous.
But Jerry, how many people are going to buy this like burlap bag full of rock salt just symbolically and pretend it's comfortable? It's really comfortable.
It won't matter. It's just they hate Mike Lindell. He's one of the two or three most hated people in America, because not only does he have a crucifix and he wears his religion on his sleeve and he loves Trump, but he says things like voting machines, irregularities. I mean, that's worse than the N-word. You can't say voting irregularities now. I mean, he's been banned from Twitter, and then he snuck on his company's Twitter account and said something about, you know, voter fraud. Boom, they banned his company. They banned his company Twitter feed. They're just like this full-time team of radicals at Twitter that wait for them people to pop up like a little whack-a-mole and whack them down. Last night, they banned Devin Nunes for no reason at all.
Did they really? Like
Yes. They're coming for all of us, Shattuck, so get ready.
But
get
it's not just lefties. I mean, the conservatives, obviously, you talked about the New York Times. Anybody who says anything that's not in complete compliance will be shut down, will be deplatformed. And it goes for some, if you're a good liberal, but you veer off the course just a little bit, or the mob inside your building of little wokesters, recent BU grads, if they decide that they're offended, then bang, off you go. Doesn't matter how many years of good progressivism you've put in.
Hang on, hold that thought. I got to talk about our new sponsor, govx.com. That's govx.com. As we all know, uniformed professionals sign up to serve causes greater than themselves. If you've ever served in the military, law enforcement, firefighting, or frontline medical communities, you are eligible for free membership in GovX.com, the greatest online shopping site for Americans of service like you. Your job demands a lot from you, from deployments to long shifts and the dangerous situations most people don't have the courage to face. There's a reason why GovX believes service-minded patriots like you deserve special recognition. GovX.com delivers the deals on all the gear you need for your on- and off-duty life. Register at GovX for instant access to discounts on epic brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Vortex Optics, Benchmade, Danner, and more. The site was built exclusively for the men and women who serve our country and communities. That's why every month GovX supports nonprofits serving the military, first responder, or law enforcement communities. We don't just thank you for your service, we honor it. Signing up is fast and easy and totally free. Become a member today and use code Callahan for $15 off your first order of $50 or more. GovX.com, savings for those who serve. I'm just going to warn the mob because today's not – they make it triggered today, Shattuck. And I wanted to get to the Super Bowl because we wanted to give you – Colin and I both gave you kudos the other day – 2 days ago because you nailed it once again. I think you called every single postseason game correctly. You predicted Tampa in a blowout. You were right. I think you said Tom Brady.
31-9 as the final. And that it would be a good big game for Gronk, and that Mahomes would not score a touchdown. That would be field goals from right. KC.
I think some people out there listening to you made some money this this postseason.
Shattuck texted me at the end of the game a timestamp of this podcast with no reference other than the timestamp of this podcast of his prediction of the game. Just completely, I had no idea in the moment what he was talking about. I figured I screwed up the podcast like I normally do. And he said, no, I just wanted you to hear my prediction.
What was it? Do we have it exactly? I mean,
you can take my word for it, Jerry. It was 31-9.
I know.
Three field goals for KC.
Everybody said, you know, it's going to be a great game, close game, like me. And I was wrong, and you were right. You predicted blowout.
I actually called the submarine sidewinder almost incompletion to Tyreek Hill end zone as well.
Patrick Mahomes has the greatest photograph to come out of the Super Bowl. One of the great Super Bowl photos when he's vertical to the ground making that throw. And unfortunately, his receiver hit him in the face, couldn't catch it because it was just such an incredible play. And no one will ever look back on the Super Bowl and thought Patrick Mahomes did not acquit himself well. He did all he could. His line sucked. His receivers sucked. His defense couldn't stop Brady. So it wasn't his fault. And he would put on a pretty decent show.
Yeah, what a damning thing that is for an O-line when the QB has to scramble 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage to survive, to look for a place to throw the ball.
Somebody did it. I don't know how they do this. I forget who did it, but they calculated how much he ran. 500 yards.
Jesus.
Ran 500 yards on all his scrambles because he was on the run the whole game, and he was under siege whole game. He ran 500 yards, and he did his best. But
with turf toe, too.
I'm worried, getting surgery.
Listen to the confidence in Tom Shattuck's voice as he begins to predict this game from last week. Listen to the confidence of this man.
Say, Jerry, that football is a game of inches,
right?
Which is something I coined. So what we're going to see here is a lot of small ball from Tom Brady.
Wow.
To harken back to the Troy Brown over-the-top dink and dunk game. This is the Brady Jerry, so we're going to see a running game, a lot of short passes.
Yes.
How do you say it? Ndamukong Suh.
Correct.
Nailed it.
He's going to shut down Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
Jerry, and this is going to be a decisive 12-point victory for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I said at least decisive.
Decisive 12-point
victory. That's 12. That prediction I heard from anyone. I said this the other day. Everybody falls into this. It's going to be a great game. You know, going to be great because you got great quarterbacks and a lot of theater, and it's a Super Bowl, and you hope it's a great game. So everyone says, I don't know, it's going to be a great game. You're the only one who said it's going to be decisive, blowout, boring, ground game, running the ball.
Something I called a screen pass, Jerry, was implemented in this.
Nailed it. Trump, Brady only threw for 200 yards. They ran for whatever it was, 150. You nailed it. Better than anyone. So you finished strong, Shattuck, man. You were on a roll this postseason, but so you should be excited today. They initially said there'd be no parade in Tampa because, you know, God knows you can't have a parade with coronavirus raging. And those Tampa revelers, they just refuse to wear masks. And the maskless mayor of Tampa does not have any tolerance for maskless revelers. So today, instead of having a regular parade, they're going to have a boat parade up some river in Tampa and probably into the ocean. I'm pretty sure, you know, most rivers end up in the ocean. So they'll end up in the ocean. And I'm just going to predict this is going to be another trigger point for liberals, because they'll be a Brady on a boat. You think he'll wear a mask? That's the big guess, because he'll be on a boat with probably his family, his, you know, whatever, Alex Guerrero. Will Brady wear a mask? Let's take prop bets. One last prop bet.
No mask. In the
boat parade, will Brady wear a mask? I'll go first. Negative. There will be no mask, no Under Armour mask on Tom Brady.
That's correct. I'll go negative as well. Can I do a pose another prop bet?
Sure.
Will Gronk end up in the river?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good question, because up here we've had these boat parades in with the duck boats in Boston, but it's always too cold. It's too cold to do anything usually. So going in the water, I will say no for the water, yes for removing the shirt and guzzling a beer.
He will be. You remember up here, they threw him beers and he drank them. You know?
That became a tradition. Patrick Mahomes did it last year in Kansas City. They threw him beers and he guzzled them. So Gronk started that tradition, so he will keep it up. He'll take his shirt off. He'll get crazy. He'll guzzle beer. He will not end up in the water.
I disagree. I think he's going to end up in the water. He's going to come out like with water moccasins wrapped around him, and he's going to be plastered, and he'll have a great time.
Because he won't have a mask on. He won't have any clothes on. And, oh, you know what would be great if he had no clothes, but he had a mask on?
You know what? Like you said, the mayor was saying that everybody has to wear masks. That's a lot. And then she said that they're going through surveillance video. Video to identify everybody. Not only that, but the night before the Super Bowl, everybody's in the streets in front of the stadium getting plastered, having a great time. The CNN reporter who was there, it was Casey.
She called the cops. Something K. Was it a woman or a man?
Randy K. was her name. Yes.
And she said she called the cops on people who are not wearing masks outdoors.
She said, should they be doing this? They seem to be awful close together, you know.
And the mayor, by the way, I think the mayor's whole plan kind of went out the window when she was caught without a mask, as usually happens. The people who insist you lock down your life, they don't do that. It's rules for thee, not for me. They don't take the coronavirus seriously. They demand that you do. She's just another hypocrite. They're all hypocrites.
It tells you all you need to know for DeSantis, he prioritizes the ability to drink beer over anything else.
The only unfortunate thing, and Cullinan looked for it yesterday, and I heard it nowhere, is that's not on audio. I said, get that line. They asked him why he wasn't wearing a mask. He said, how am I going to drink a beer? And that was another, you know, his poll numbers went up another 3 points in the 2024 Republican field. He's the nominee. As far as I'm concerned, he's the nominee until further notice. Florida is free America. We're going to see it and feel it again today when they have this parade. And I just want to warn my friends from NBC and USA Today and ESPN and the Boston Globe. There might be Trump flags. There might be one or two. There's going to be American flags.
Well,
they don't like that either.
You think Brady goes out in his new yacht or whatever?
I don't think so.
I think he doesn't care anymore.
It's like a cool, high-end motor.
That's true. I think he doesn't care. I think he wants to showboat a little bit now. Now he's showing off his money, which is nice. He's just feeling the flow. He's feeling it.
Now we can spend the day trying to ID some of these Trump people if they don't have masks. But, Jerry, actually, I've got another informant situation here where I think I can get some chits from Charlie Baker. On this very podcast, I believe Mute said a couple of days ago that he watched the Super Bowl with friends.
Yes.
Chaddock, we've already reported him. I got on the snitch line, the Charlie Baker snitch line. You fill out a form, you know, and I got the sound. Cullen had cut it, so we have the sound of him confessing. I'm pretty sure the Stasi, Charlie Baker secret police are on their way to Mute's home. So
I want to send the audio to Bob Holland, who's the guy at the Globe.
Yeah, guess what? You know what else he does? Sometimes his dog takes a dump on the neighbor's lawn, and you know what that means. Racist.
That's right.
If you listen to that podcast, though, I don't know if any of the material can be used I don't think Mute was watching the Super Bowl. I think he was doing keg stands the entire Super Bowl.
If you didn't see it, and Mute had a glass of bullet bourbon. Yeah. We went past midnight. Our plan was to go for like an hour, but we went an hour and a half because Mute was who's drinking his billet bourbon and giving us a complete breakdown.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So that
I asked some friends. I asked some acquaintances of Mute. He is a rambler when he's intoxicated. So we can basically he was rambling a lot.
That was a good show.
30 minutes shorter that show.
He was a good show. Rambling, but today I'm looking forward to this parade. It's going to again feel like a different country, a different world. Those people in Florida having fun, and people in lockdown America are all going to be complaining and bitching, and they're all going to be triggered. Like that guy yesterday, another one of these viral videos of a woman in Costco with her 100-year-old mother and a lark, and the woman and the guy accosts him. I don't know if you get this color name, but it's just
say cheese. You're in Costco, not wearing your mask, refusing to wear your mask.
Yes, call the police.
And here's her mother.
Yes, here's my mother. Shame, like an ass. Get out of here.
Can you call your manager?
Sorry?
Can you call her your manager?
Yes. Do I call my manager?
He's taking pictures of me because I haven't had a moment to put my mask on.
You can put it on right now, ma'am.
You're shaming me. I'm not going to do that for you.
You should be ashamed.
I'll do that when I'm well to do it.
You should be ashamed.
You're ridiculous to shame people. Don't you have anything better to do?
No, not right now. I don't.
Do you understand science?
Science? Maybe better than you do.
Maybe.
Apparently. I'm the one protecting other people by wearing a mask. Are you? Well, great. Pull out your ID. I want to see.
We know what to do.
I want to see your credentials. Pull them out.
If I want to see your identification.
Yeah. But first of all, if you haven't seen the video, she has the mask in her hand for her and another one for her mother, who is literally in her 90s, riding a lark in a Costco. And the woman is about to put the mask on, and this dick gets in her face and starts saying, "I'm calling your manager." This is the worst part of this. I mean, obviously, the 400-something thousand dead is a bit of a problem as well that died with the coronavirus. I mean, now under Biden, there's over 50,000. Biden has killed over 50,000 people with the coronavirus. His rules, not mine, but. The effect it has on society, the fact that people have turned so many people into snitches and rats who are saying, call your manager. If he was really concerned that she was going to infect him, he would get the hell away from her. Right.
Yeah. And that's why the Costco guy, when he says, can you call a manager, please? And the Costco guy's like, call a manager? Like, aren't you a man? What are you saying that for? Why would I? Yeah. And he's so quick to yell at women. All of these tapes that we see are always guys, good progressives, yelling at women and getting in their faces and following them through stores. Like even the guy with the funny shorts 3 weeks ago. They love it. You never see a squirrely progressive yelling at a big dude without a mask.
Right.
They're no. But anytime they get a chance to yell at women, including, this mother is 111 years old, they are right there to show how tough they are.
I said this many times. I run and walk my dog without a mask. And of course I do. It's outside. I'm by myself. And it was okay for the last, 6 months. Lately, it's getting a little bit, people are getting a little aggressive. I had a guy, an old guy with a cane, yell at me the other day. I'm going by, put your mask on, he yells. I just had to laugh. I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to run with a mask. Unless you're an idiot, you don't run with a mask. You're outside. There's no danger that you're going to transmit it or get sick. I mean, I wear it in the grocery store. I wear it in CVS. I wear it in, restaurants or whatever, doctor's office. Of course I do. I'm not, I'm not looking for a fight, but only a fool would wear it while they're jogging alone outside along a river. But whatever, it's got nuts. It's going to get worse. It doesn't matter. Vaccines don't matter. Herd immunity won't matter. These people, the guy like this a-hole in Costco, they live for this. They love this. We've learned how many rats, how many snitches are out there. They're enjoying their new role as, hall monitors. And we see it in the media. I mean, I don't know if we even have time to get into this New York Times story. A couple other things I want to get to. We want to get to Mark Cuban, Mavericks owner. I just want to put one thing to rest on Mark Cuban. Is people see him sometime, he's outspoken, he's loud, he's obnoxious, and they say he could be the next Trump. You know, he's a celebrity, he's rich. There's not a chance in hell. First of all, he's not smart enough. I know he made all his money and he made millions, but he said they're not going to play the national anthem at the Mavericks games. And they haven't played it this season. They're all done with the national anthem. He's in Texas. Do you think that works as a populist? If you're going to be a populist, and Trump defined the term, you're going to sit there. And by the way, he does business with China, defends China, ignores the genocide in China, and says, you know what? This national anthem thing is a little jingoistic for me. No more anthem. Tell me that would ever play with the masses the way, you know, Trump build a wall or Trump, you know, make America great did. You know, killing the anthem and supporting the communist Chinese government, that won't work.
I actually support this, Jerry. I think all of the NBA teams should play the Chinese national anthem.
That's a good idea. What about the black national anthem? That's important too.
Well, you know that if they played the Chinese national anthem, nobody would kneel. No way. They would be up straight, you know, saluting the Chinese flag, total fealty. There's no way. They know where, you know, who's taking care of them.
Right. And they don't care. You know, LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick, the Chinese government could literally kill every Muslim in the country today. It wouldn't stop the NBA from fawning, from bowing, bending the knee to the Chinese. There's too much money involved. People like Cuban and LeBron wouldn't stop supporting them. They don't care. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's crap that he sells, the Nike stuff, is literally made by slaves in China. The guy who says America is racist, America is cruel, it's unfair, it's a evil country. That guy makes his money from slave labor, and nobody seems to care.
The slave labor in the concentration camps are one thing, but the fact that Kaepernick can't go in some stores in Beijing should seem problematic to him. But yes. It's not. He's not the sellout. No, it's Larry Elder in his independent movie is the thing that has to be, you know.
Candace Owen.
Right.
Candace Owen's a sellout. Colin Kaepernick supports a country. He will never say a bad word about a country that literally does, as you point out, there are stores that sell his crap, his shirts and sneakers, that says on the door, you know, no blacks allowed.
Yes.
No blacks allowed.
Cap can't buy Cap merch in China.
Well, Cap, right. Cap go, but he doesn't care because there's so much money in hating America.
I love that what you said about Candace Owens. Imagine that. You got Van Jones being pummeled now for simply having ever talked to Candace Owens.
Oh, he took he's getting killed now for taking a smiling picture. Smiling picture. So in other words, they took a picture together. Somebody said, smile. They smiled, and that pissed off Sonny Houston and Joy Behar. How could you take a picture with Candace Owen, a brilliant young African-American woman who, you know, she says we have some things in common. Other things we politely disagree, but we're civil. They don't like that. No more civil. Can't have civil. Did you know that Shea Concrete is the largest manufacturer of recon retaining wall systems in North America? Well, you do now. In fact, in 2020, Shea set a new company record when they manufactured 178,000 square feet of retaining wall. This is a testament to Shea's legendary teamwork from engineering to manufacturing to dispatch and delivery. As the guys at Shea like to say, teamwork makes the teamwork. They do. I've been around them when they say that. Shea Concrete's high-performing precast concrete retaining walls stand up to New England's active climate and come in a wide variety of shapes, designs, and textures to meet your retaining wall needs. So whether you need a residential, a commercial, or an industrial application, Shea has a dedicated team that will assist you with conceptual design, site walks, and installation. Let Shea show you the way. Call Shea Concrete at 800-696-SHEA. That's 800-696-SHEA, or just log on to SheaConcrete.com. We have to get to this because it's the most outrageous. I wanted to get to it yesterday. We never got around to it, but it is the most absurd cancel culture story this week, because there'll be another one next week, and there was one last week. And, you know, the LA Times woman that calls her neighbor a Nazi, who blowed her driveway for free, she takes the prize of the biggest a-hole I think I've ever seen in the media. But if you haven't followed the New York Times story in Donald McNeil, their health writer, who's worked there for 47 years in some capacity, he's literally 67. He's been there 47 years. And he's been very important because he's been on the COVID beat. A story comes out that he used a racial slur on a trip to Peru, which I had to read this twice, with high school kids. So New York Times writers host a trip to Peru with high school kids, like little rich kids, I guess, or kids mm-hmm. who somehow had the money to go to Peru. And he's talking to the kids. And one kid asks Donald McNeil, this reporter, they're, you know, talking to him. He's kind of a mentor figure and about life and the careers, and said, should a girl who did a rap, said the N-word in a song, a 12-year-old be punished? And he talked about it, and he made the point that, you know, how was she using the word? He actually said the word. He said, in other words, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's about the spelling of the N-word. You know, there's an end in an A or an ER, that kind of thing. You know, did she say it in anger? Or did she say it, you know, quoting a song or quoting a person? That's it. That's what he did. And not only 2 years later or 3 years, what year was the trip? I'll get that year. So it comes out that he said this word in front of high school kids, paraphrasing someone else. And they go nuts. They start an investigation. They initially say, not a big deal, because obviously.
Right. It was an analytical conversation. It was not used as a pejorative. It was a useful and constructive conversation about vocabulary and culture. And the Times has his back initially, like they should have. Yeah.
And they say, you know, it's unfortunate. We don't like that word. But, you know, in the context, there's some context. And by the way, initially, intent mattered. Mm-hmm. Intent. This is a new standard at the New York Times. And if it's the New York Times, believe me, it's also the Boston Globe, the Washington Post. Their new standard for language, Shattuck, is intent doesn't matter, which could be the most insane new rule in our current cancel culture, that intent doesn't matter what you meant. Like saying, obviously, you know, the rap songs or mm-hmm. you know, Quentin Tarantino movies, by their rule, have to be forbidden. You can't, because there's, if the intent is, you know, tell a story or sing a song or speak like you know, people on the street, you know, like whatever, that you can't have a explanations or
yes, the word is dangerous no matter what.
The word on its own gets you canceled, gets you fired.
Right.
So they initially do this investigation. It's led by all the radicals. The New York Times, as I say all the time, anyone who takes it seriously is a fool. It is a radical left-wing arm of the woke mob run by this Hannah Jones lunatic, the one
who has used the same word herself.
She not only has used it, she's tweeted it. It's not like they just said, you know, she used it with some friends one night when they were, you know, drinking and they started singing some whatever, some Lil Wayne song, and she used it. She's used it and tweeted it and said it like in a conversation. She led the mob. Here's the most insane thing, and I know that there's no normal, you know, reporters who care about journalism left at the New York Times. 150 reporters signed a letter demanding they get rid of this guy, Donald McNeil, the 67-year-old veteran reporter, because he said a word in a conversation, by the way, trying to teach young people, I know, to not use the word, like to not say it in anger, to not call someone that. When he knows, by the way, that they're singing it and they're, you know, singing rap songs or whatever, or poems, and he's trying to make the distinction. You can't use it to call someone that. That wasn't enough. They wanted him fired, and they got him fired, and I have zero sympathy for him, Shattuck, because this guy, and I don't know what the severance package was, issued the single most embarrassing, humiliating apology I've ever seen. Now, obviously, apologies are part of cancel culture. They want to ruin you, but they will have a little bit of mercy on you. Maybe you'll get a severance package. Maybe you know, they won't try to destroy your whole family if you apologize, correct? We know that.
Right. But the whole thing, I mean, the apology was written right out of the jihadis in the newsroom.
So you accept Allah and admit you're
right.
You know, like the, whatever that reporter from Fox that was he was being held prisoner, but he had to accept Allah and denounce, you know, like whatever Christianity, and they would let him go, and they did.
And to think that's what the New York Times, that's the culture of the New York Times. That's the religion now of the New York Times. If you work there, that's the religion. Now, Nicole Hannah-Jones, who wrote the 1619 Project, which was rife with errors, so bad that the Times had to clandestinely go back and clean it up and change it, you know, not just simply retract parts of it. It was a crap piece of work that she put out there. In any other circumstance, she and the editor or editors involved with that would have been let go, because that's just incompetence and the thing that matters or should matter to the New York Times. But no, right now it's policing language. And, you know, if the 26-year-old woke kids in the newsroom are scared of Tom Cotton, then people have to get fired. And if a guy has an honest conversation about vocabulary with young people, he's got to go and sign.
You know, it's one thing to make words, you know, radioactive or make them, you know, whatever, make them completely taboo. It's another thing to say there's no context for anything and intent doesn't matter. And this guy who's been working there and won awards and won praise for 40 something years, that guy has to go. Literally, we have to take his job, ruin his life, ruin his reputation, because he was trying to teach, literally trying to teach young people, high school kids, to you know, think before they speak. Here's his apology, though. And again, I assume they had a negotiation. Initially, the editor said, you know, this doesn't call for resignation or firing. He learned his lesson. He knows the blah, 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 blah. And they let him off the mat. Wasn't enough. Then the mob fired up the torches, grabbed their pitchforks, and said, no, we want his old white ass. We want him on a pike. Quote, originally, this Don McNeil, the reporter, got fired. Originally, I thought the context in which I used this ugly word could be defended. I now realize that it cannot. It is deeply offensive and hurtful. The fact that I even thought I could defend it itself showed extraordinarily bad judgment. For that, I apologize. My lapse in judgment has hurt my colleagues in science. The hundreds Jesus. Of people who trusted me to work with them closely during this pandemic, the team of The Daily, the podcast, that turned to me during this frightening year, and the whole institution, which puts confidence in me and expected better. That's his resignation. His career is over. His life is over. I guess he got a nice package, because I don't know why else he would do this.
He took the blame for, like, everything, and the floods and famine and
Jason Blair and, you know, all. I mean, the New York Times is, let's be honest, there's now another scandal with this Caliphate podcast. Again, stuff they just make up. They just
that great. Make up.
You know what I read the other day? I think the New York Times, it was the New York Times, had over, I think the number was 15,000 stories about the Russian hoax. 15,000 over the course of 3 years or whatever, 4 years, which was a total hoax, totally made up. We now know Hillary made it up.
Which included golden showers and hookers, but right. They didn't say Dominion voted machine, so it's fine.
They're the ones who are now policing people for misinformation or disinformation. Like a place that wrote 15,000 stories about a hoax. And again, I don't take it seriously. I would never write it. I read it. I would never subscribe to it. It is a joke. It is it is just the voice of the woke mob. There's no journalism being done there. And this guy, the actual journalist who's out on his ass and begging for mercy because he used a word that Nicole Hannah-Jones probably uses like regularly. God knows she's said it, tweeted it. That person led the mob that brought this guy down. It is, at least for today, the most outrageous cancel culture story I think I've ever seen.
Well, yeah. Apologies, taking ownership after something like this is usually good business after, isn't it? Like, isn't it like to launch a Substack or something like that? Isn't that
maybe that's his plan? Or maybe he's going to retire. He's 67. He's probably, you know, saved his money. I don't know. And his beat is COVID, so he could probably freelance. You're right, Substack. Or, you know,
think about it too. Like if 150 colleagues are saying that you did something wrong, even though to us it's the most absurd thing in the world, don't you just fall on the sword? I'm a sissy. Maybe I probably do.
It depends. You know what? We all have a price, and maybe maybe they gave him $100,000 to walk away and apologize, and they said, you know, that's on the table if you apologize. If you walk away and blame us and, you know, kicking and screaming, you know, there's no $100,000. You know, we all have.
It was good to play the feeling.
This guy was probably making a fortune anyway for working there that long. He's probably way back in the pension system and other things. No, I mean, the way to do it, if he wants to go the Substack way, the right way to do it is to shoot your way out of it, like Barry Weiss did.
Yeah, you're right.
Glenn Greenwald, you're right. But Shattuck, you're a newspaper guy. Here's what blows my mind. That at Politico, when Ben Shapiro wrote a column, and I realized, you know, that's offensive. And I mean, you actually have a conservative, a kind of a thoughtful, cerebral conservative, not a firebrand, not a bomb tosser, just a guy, a scholar, an intellect. Ben Shapiro wrote a column. 250 or 200 and 200 something, 200 plus staffers wrote a letter or signed a letter protesting the decision to let him write. And I said, Politico has 200 people?
I know.
How is that possible?
I know.
The New York Times, which I guess people read online, nobody buys it, nobody takes it seriously, has like 500. There was another story where they talked about all their staff reporters, and it was like 500 people. How do they have 500 people?
I know.
I mean, newspapers, every time I read about a paper struggle, and they get like 20 people writing for them, or, you know, 30 reporters at the Denver Post or something. I'm going, New York Times has 500?
Well, the Daily alone probably subsidizes 50% of that workforce nowadays. Right. That thing's a monster.
That is amazing.
I guess the people who listen don't care that whether it's true or not, because they got caught, you know, with a totally fictional account of a terrorist do it on their podcast, The Caliphate, and it's no big deal. It's like,
they were so excited to have a member of ISIS they could love that they said, screw it, don't vet it. This guy is too good. He's one of ours.
Right. He's so bad, that guy from ISIS. It's like the guy who plowed my driveway. We're evil. But it's just so bizarre. And you honestly just have to read these stories slowly to realize there are people, not people, journalists out there who not only want to legislate speech, stop speech, stifle speech, they want to sit there, like, go through. They have a full-time staffer, this woman, Taylor Lorenz, in New York Times. Her job is to creep on people's social media. She's the one that creeped into the conversation they have now on one of these platforms. It's not Telegram. It's, you know, one of these platforms where you have chat rooms, big chat rooms, from high-powered business people to talk about things. And she creeped on it and said the CEO from this company used the R word. He called something retarded.
Yes, yes. The R slur.
It was not true. She made it up. She got caught. Someone else did it, but the guy didn't do it. She tried to ruin him, and she had to apologize. And her apology was, well, people said it, and they tolerate this kind of thing in this conversation all the time. Her job is to creep on Facebook and Twitter and Telegram and catch people saying offensive things like, you know, retarded, or catch people using slurs and try to ruin them. That's what the New York Times does. It amazes me that so many people don't recognize that and just say, I'm not going to be party to that. Like, I'm not going to support these awful people. These are bad people.
Yeah. Well, like, but you know, as you were saying with Politico, with their 250 employees, you know, the management essentially told them to go to hell.
Yeah,
to the credit.
And I think the day before, like, Chris Hayes was the celebrity columnist, and the day after it was like, you know, whatever, Rachel Maddow or something. I'm going, so they let celebrities, political pundits write. Who cares? Why would that upset you? How could that upset you so much? Ben Shapiro? They acted like they let, you know, Ann Coulter do it or whatever, or Milo Yiannopoulos do it. It was Ben Shapiro. I read it. It was harmless. It was a Republican, I mean, a right-wing conservative take on the current political state of the country, that kind of thing. And they were so upset, they demanded that he be, that it be renounced and people get fired. And just these people have lost their minds, which, you know, I'm enjoying. It's kind of entertaining, but journalism is dead. We've said it many times. There's no journalism except for the Lowell Sun.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. No, definitely. And you, and now, you know, more of these, and it's not even the guilds in these newspapers that are doing it. More of these staffers are making demands. They have demand lists. And in them, of course, is all sorts of equity demands and all sorts of social justice demands, demands and all the leadership decisions that are made. And this is just ridiculous. A 25-year-old kid generally doesn't know a whole lot about anything, which
they
is why.
They don't even know, like, what the First Amendment says. They don't even know their... know why they're doing what they're doing. They think they're there to change the world and advance social justice. There was a story, one of the stories about this New York Times scandal said there was a big split between old school journalists like Don McNeil and people like him, his of his era, and the young woke brigade that, that literally, you know, want to change the world. They want to get him out, not just because he used the N-word on a field trip with a bunch of kids, but because he's 67 years old and white. They like, we don't want you. You know, we are here. We are the young,
right?
You know, firebrands. We're here to change the world and you're getting in the way. That's the, almost his offense to me, to some of these people, probably was secondary. It's what he represents. Yeah. Old school journalism, this whole crazy idea of free speech and objectivity. That, where do you get off with that crap? Get lost. We're here.
No, they're taught to, in J school now, they are taught to infuse reporting with truth, which is truth as they see it. And, you know, Wes Lowry.
Their truth, right.
Yes, their truth, exactly. And it's your job now. So when a politician says something that's not true, you're allowed to say he lied. So you're allowed to infuse malicious intent into it, even though that's not reporting. You know, you should say that he, you could say he said without facts or without evidence, whatever. But no, you say he lied, except if it doesn't align with your politics. So when Donald Trump said something that wasn't true, he obviously lied. When Joe Biden promises voters in Georgia that they're going to get a $2,000 check from him if they vote for the senators, the Democratic senators, when he says that and then says now, no, you're only going to get $1,400, even though he told them you're literally going to get $2,000 checks, he wasn't lying now.
No. He misspoke. Come on.
Or it wasn't him misspoking. It was you misunderstanding what he meant. I
mean, yeah, it's just politics. You got to understand people say.
Right. Context. Yeah. Context right. Is back in.
Context. By the way, one last journalism note before we wrap this up. The Washington Post, when Marty Schottenheimer, you want to see how it has infected this crazy woke mob culture has affected every part of these former newspapers. They're not really newspapers anymore. Washington Post, New York Times, Boston Globe. They are the media wing of the woke mob. The Washington Post, Marty Schottenheimer dies. And he was a legendary coach, known for winning a lot of games, but not winning the Super Bowl, but a legendary coach who won, top whatever list of wins and, you know, had a pretty good reputation, pretty good leader of men. And their headline says, Marty Schottenheimer, NFL coach known for wilting in the big games, died at 77. there was just outrage. I mean, outrage in the media from people. I don't remember dealing with Marty Schottenheimer.
Ex-wife write the obit? It's like
he's the seventh winningest coach in NFL history.
And, for wilting.
Here's what people did immediately was looked at their headlines, like when terrorists died, you know, when they killed one of the guys in Iran with the missile strike. Mm-hmm. Was it? And they said austere religious scholar.
Yes.
You know, dies in missile attack.
Soleimani. Yeah.
So they were much more positive or praising, and they changed it. Initially, it said Marty Schottenheimer, NFL coach whose teams wilted in the postseason, dies at 77. That's their headline for the guy. And there was such an outrage, so with such outrage that they changed it to Marty Schottenheimer. One of NFL's winningest coaches dies at 77. This is, again, the place that said the terrorist was an austere religious scholar. But these people are sick. They're just sick. They look here. You know why they did this? This wasn't a person that had a bad experience with Schottenheimer. This was a person who doesn't like 77-year-old white guys who coach football. They just think that they're bad. I mean, they, you know, Marty Schottenheimer could have, you know, raised whatever orphans, adopted, you know, sick orphans, and they still would have said wilted in the postseason because they look at him and they say, "Oh, that Neanderthal he coaches football. Oh, oh, gross." I mean,
whoa, probably, right? And just think of the many decades of privilege he enjoyed.
He probably never even thought of transitioning. Not once in his life. You know? A lot of privilege. You know, a lot of macho crap. They probably just looked at him and said, not our kind of guy, wilted in the postseason, put it in the headline. But that's just today's example. We'll get to more tomorrow and the next day and the next day because they're taking over, Shattuck. Hate to say it, they're taking over. You're a dinosaur. Tom Shattuck is a old white guy who works in newspapers.
I wilted.
You will. You're open to read something about your you know,
the by the way, Jerry, I left the damn chicken coop open last night, and there are fox tracks on my driveway.
Are there any?
So I haven't had it. I saw Jerry Callahan, little Jerry Callahan. He's fine. But okay. There may have been a domestic an insurrection, Jerry, in my chicken coop.
All right. Well, I'll let you get back and tend to the chickens. Make sure little Jerry Callahan is okay. That's important, Shattuck. I mean, how do they handle the cold? The chickens care.
But no, they don't care. They like it.
They're cold blooded.
I don't know what they are. As a matter of fact, Jerry, technically, yeah, aren't they mammals or they have eggs? I don't know what they are. They're birds.
Mammals. They're chickens. Are they mammals?
You know what, Jerry? I allow them to assign their own species to themselves because I'm more open minded than you.
You are. You always has been. But all right, Shattuck, enjoy the Tampa boat ride. You should. You called the Super Bowl correctly. Enjoy the celebration today in Tampa. I'm really hoping. I don't want anyone to get COVID, but I hope no one's wearing masks because I just know it'll trigger all the same lunatics. One last time, Tom Brady has to trigger all the usual lunatics one last time today by taking a boat ride without a mask. Cannot wait. And maybe won't be on Brady's boat, but some boat will have a Trump flag. And that's not as bad as an American flag, but it's pretty bad. And I look forward to it. Enjoy it, Shattuck. Thanks. And thanks to DCU and Shea Concrete and Allied Paving. And thanks to GovX. And thanks to everybody for listening. What I miss, Shattuck? Anything?
Well, you know what we didn't talk about, Jerry, very quickly is the guys, the streakers in the Super Bowl.
Oh, did you see that guy that he made $350,000?
Yeah. I hope to God that's true. I know it seems too good to be true, but if that is true, then I want that guy to be DeSantis' running mate.
First of all, the prop bet said a naked streaker, and he wasn't naked.
That's about as naked as you can get. He gave his
big. If you're the casino, you're going to pay him off, or you're going to save him?
Yeah, you try.
A high bar for streakers, Jerry. I don't know. It's a passion.
That's true.
He did something that the Chiefs didn't do. Give him credit.
Yeah.
He got in the end zone.
That's true.
I don't think we're going to hear any more from that guy. That was a hoax.
Jerry, is that an injury on your hand? Is that a?
No. It's just a.
Looks like a bloody rag on your fist.
It's a.
Gator?
Bandana.
Oh. Oh, mask up. Playing with the bandana. There you go.
Mask up. This is one of those running masks.
I think Dr. Fauci recommended
that. This is random before we go, though, but last year's inductees, or actually nominees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if you weren't nominated, you don't get pushed to the next year because they just announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees for 2021, and none of the people that were nominated last year are nominated again. Does that make sense? Like, if you don't get in, you're just out. You know what I mean?
Last year?
No, like I think they nominate, let's call it 20 people, and they only let 5 in. Like Whitney Houston was nominated, she gets in, but like let's go with Nine Inch Nails. I can't remember if they got in or not, but let's say they didn't get in. They're not on the nominee list.
It sounds like a scandal to for the
I'm gonna focus on this.
I need a lot of time to work this through in my mind.
What are the prospects of Marilyn Manson?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't like his chances. Or
had a good resume, but I don't like his chances anymore.
Right. No. Unless you want to separate the artist from the person, because he sounds like a real low-quality individual. And you know what, Shattuck? I said this when Ron Jeremy got busted for rape. It's always the ones you least expect. Marilyn Manson, who knew he was such a creep? Maybe we'll get to that tomorrow, as usual, from dumb idea from Cullinane, but we'll kick it around and maybe we'll get it tomorrow. Are we going to talk to our friend Turtle Boy, who is coming off a little mental health break?
Yes, he wants in. He gave me the notification last night that he's all good. He went live last night, so I got to check that out today to see.
I have a lot of experience in partners on air, partners with issues, and sometimes it's good to talk about it. It's good to get it out in the open, but we don't want to overdo it. We don't want to trigger anything.
Yep, gotta trust the process. He reached out. We'll trust the process. So,
all right, maybe we'll talk to Turtle Boy about his recent mental health issues tomorrow, but. If not, there's plenty to get to. Anyway, that's it for today. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.